The first reading this morning is from Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hid their faces. He was despised, he was held of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading today comes from John's Gospel. I'm going to be reading an interesting story from John chapter 5. 1 through 13. So listen again for God's word to each one of us today. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there was a pool called Bethzaitha, which has five porticos. In these lay many ill, blind, lame, and paralyzed people. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The ill man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up. Take your mat and walk." At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now, that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they ask him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. This is the word of the Lord. Well, this being Triple Crown horse racing season, there was a story about a man who was in the midst of tough times. At least it seemed that way one year. He was sitting on a park bench outside of that track up at Pimlico up there in Baltimore, just looking like he was struggling, just having a hard time. But luckily, a good Samaritan was walking his dog that day by the park bench and just had a moment of compassion. He'd happened to have $10 in his pocket. And so he just handed it to the man on the bench, handed him the $10, and just said, "Don't despair." Well, a few days later, that same good Samaritan was walking his dog by the park bench again, and the guy came running up to him and said, "Hey, I've got your $50. "What? "Yeah, you gave me a 10 the other day and told me to put it on Don't Despair in the fifth race. And it came in at 5-1, so here's your $50. That story has not been fact-checked, by the way. And we know despair is no laughing matter. It probably touches all of our lives in one way or another. Do you hear, like I do, around your community or around the people you know, just a feeling of unease sometimes. You know, a sense of things being chaotic or out of control, or just a feeling of exhaustion from the changes that have been brought about these past 5 years through the pandemic, economic uncertainty and stress and so forth. The other night I saw the Reverend Ralph Warnock, who's also a pastor. Well, he's a pastor and a senator from Georgia. He was on one of those late night talk shows, and he put it like this. He said, quote, "I think people are feeling pretty soul weary. There's a kind of angst and people feel it. You wake up in the morning and you don't really feel great and you don't know why. It's a kind of a low-grade fever." And he continued, he said, "And it's understandable. We've been through a lot. We went through 3 years of COVID. We lost 1 million people. And I think because we had to keep going, we really never took stock of what had happened. And that was after 20 years of the Afghan war. And on top of that, layers of hate and bigotry circulating through our politics and through our social media. People feel soul weary." But then, being a pastor at heart, Reverend Warnock said this. He said, "But I remain hopeful. Hope is everything. When you lose hope, you stop fighting." I think he's right, because despair literally means to lose hope or lose confidence in the future. That feeling of hopelessness or helplessness, it is compared by some to quicksand. You know, you get in it, it grips you, and harder you try to get out of it and struggle, and the deeper you sink. So while it's not really an exact parallel to what some are experiencing today, this story from John chapter 5 is like a case study in despair, but also a case study in hope. There's a man described, you know, in that story, lying by this place called the Sheep Gate, Bethsaida, around this pool. As it seems, there are many, many others who are seeking healing from various ailments at that time. But it was so curious that there's this detail in the story that the man has been lying there off and on for 38 years. According to some biblical historians, apparently underneath this pool of water were underground wells. And every so often they would bubble up and stir the water. And ancient wisdom said, well, if you can get into the pool at the right time as it bubbled up, then you might be healed. It was probably no more than an ancient superstition, but it was quite real to those who were lying about the pool. And again, what's odd is that this man's been lying there for 38 years, and when Jesus walks up to him, he asks him a disturbing question. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" How would you feel, or I feel, if we've been struggling all that time? Kind of a hard, almost insulting question. Do you want to be healed? Wouldn't we say, "Oh, of course I want to be healed. Why have I been sitting here all this time?" Yet our man sitting by the pool doesn't really answer Jesus directly at all. He begins kind of finger pointing. He gets defensive. He starts blaming everyone else around him for his problem. He shifts about into whataboutism. In fact, he evades the question entirely, and he says, "Look, nobody here helps me get into the water. It's not fair." That just shows how deep his despair is. He seems hopeless. And Jesus patiently listens to all this and just simply says, rise up, take your mat, and walk. And this man does, and he's healed. Then there's the usual irony that we find in the gospel stories. After this miraculous happening, he goes walking off with his mat and immediately gets in trouble with the Jewish authorities for carrying something on the Sabbath day. It should be a great celebration, but well, not so fast. Once again, the gospel shows that Jesus is right in their midst, and they don't recognize him. Did you hear that at the end of the passage I read? Verse 13 says, Jesus had disappeared into the crowd, and the man didn't even know who healed him. You might remember that story. Maybe even Pastor Caroline has told you the story of the friends of the famous comedian Charlie Chaplin. His friends decided that it would be fun to hold a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. Now, for you younger folks, Charlie Chaplin was a very distinctive-looking fellow, and this was going to be a fun time. So Charlie decided he was going to pull a joke on his friends, and he was going to enter the contest himself. So there were a bunch of people dressed like Charlie Chaplin. No one knew that one of them was Charlie himself. But the big joke turned out to be on Charlie because he came in sixth place in his own look-alike contest. And the lesson in that is that Jesus was right in their midst, right there in the midst of everyone in Jerusalem, changing lives, healing a man who had suffered for all those years. They couldn't see it. They didn't recognize him. So we are promised through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we'll celebrate at Pentecost in just a few weeks, we are promised the real presence of Christ. And one reason why we like to bring everybody to the Lord's table at least once a month here is that in that sacrament, we are promised the real presence of Christ in the bread and the cup. And it asks us, God asks us to open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, as that song says, and recognize him. And take that invitation to the newness of life. Avoid getting dragged into the quicksand of despair that can overwhelm us. So in this passage, Jesus offers us, I think, an important spiritual principle as we recognize his presence with us. And that is this, that Jesus can come to the place where we are, no matter what that is, or no matter where that is, or no matter how we find ourselves. And that man at the pool, well, you know, he'd been in despair for all those years. And it's curious that John writes this story. This man did not seek Jesus out. Yet Jesus came to him and found him where he was. Nothing in the story indicates that this man made any effort to bring Jesus to the place where he was, as in the case of other stories, too, in the Gospels. I was fortunate to study for a little while in my Doctor of Ministry program over in King's College in Scotland, in Aberdeen, with a professor who wrote a book called Spirituality and Mental Health Care. John Swinton was the author, and his purpose was not by any means to replace clinical mental health care, but rather to help teach providers and therapists the importance of adding that spiritual dimension to care for someone, no matter what quicksand they find themselves in. And his theory is this: if despair and hopelessness is really a loss of meaning, and that sense of lack of hopefulness, then it really is a spiritual problem in addition to a mental health problem. And he reminds us again that Jesus is able to find us where we are, no matter what our situation. And then he adds this. He said, sometimes when we find ourselves in that quicksand, when even holding on to faith is hard, he found an interesting observation in his studies that the liturgy, the act of worship, the sacrament, can have a healing effect with those struggling with hopelessness. And he calls it, quote, an acted out statement of faith when your mind and your emotions may not be totally able to focus. That healing power of what we are doing on Sunday morning, that healing power of worship, saying to yourselves maybe the words of a hymn of praise, like the one we'll sing in a few minutes, is a good example of that. Despair is not the last word on this story, nor is it the last word for us in our context today. The point of the story is really, once again, to show the power of God over that sense of despair. The grip of quicksand is tough. We know that. But the living Christ offers us power as well. God's promise, God's power is right there for us if we can recognize it. Claim it for yourselves. Thanks be to God.